name because there's none other like him. Read the scriptural affirmation with me today from Luke 18, 9 through 17. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For every one that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted.
They brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them.
But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God.
Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein.
Morning, church, would you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to worship you, Lord. We ask that you just take these songs of worship, that you steer us to you, Lord, and we ask that you just bring the word down to the pastor through him, and that we hear it, and that it changes our minds and our hearts, and that it moves us in a way to help us talk about you to other people and your greatness and the awesomeness of your salvation and the grace that you've shown us, the grace that you've shown us in everything we do and how we think about things. We need your grace. We need your forgiveness. Oh, we need to thank you so much for everything. We need to thank you. Thank you for being you, for saving us. Lord, we ask that these songs, we just glorify you, Lord, and just lift you up. Dwell in this place today, Lord. Fill the room. Fill the room with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Praise him because he's coming. We praise him because he is. We praise him and he is great. There's none other like him. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised above all names. We're grateful. We're grateful. This day, Lord, fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your spirit that we might be able to hear you, that we might be able to know your will, that we might be able to respond to you in a way that glorifies your name, that we might be the people of God in the place that God has placed us. We praise you. We can see you coming. And there's no one like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You ever reading the scripture and say, oh man, those people, and then you say, well, I wonder if I'm one of those people. I wonder if this is really all about me. Had the most convicting incident this morning. There's a fellow that prays for me, and he texts me every Sunday morning. And he says, who are your intercessors? Who's your intercessor? Who prays for you? And I immediately thought of someone. And as I thought of that someone, I got a text from that someone. And it just blew me away. It was just an amazing thing. But it has struck me how much we take the privilege and responsibility of prayer for granted. And it has struck me the way that we use prayer. It's a little perfunctory thing that we do to start off meetings and end meetings. And maybe sometimes we just pray just because it seems like the appropriate thing to do, but is our heart there? Are we all there in those prayers? And then what are the quality of our prayers? I know, you know, you don't have to have fancy words. You don't have to be able to say all kinds of amazing things and do all kinds. I know that. That's not what I mean. But what is what's your sincerity level? What's your motivation? And today's scripture kind of makes us examine ourselves. In this scene here in scripture today, it's a fascinating scene because it comes right after Jesus talking about the unjust judge. The unjust judge, this woman wanted to be rid of her problem, and she had a right cause, and she went before this unjust judge day and night, and she couldn't get any satisfaction, but she kept coming, and finally this unjust judge said, wait a minute, this woman's gonna wear me out. So he decided that he would give her what she wanted, what was right, what was the thing that should be given in this particular case. And then the Bible goes on, if the unjust judge, the unrighteous person, would do what is right when you go and pray to him, when you go to him asking him persistently, when you go after this thing, how much more would our Father in heaven? It's an amazing thought. But does that mean you come just any old way? You know, some of us have the habit of prayer. We come here, right? And we pray. And if you don't pray any other time, you at least get to pray here on Sunday morning. You pray, right? But have you thought about what is it you are praying? What is it that your heart is thinking while you're praying? I want to examine that today a little bit with this 18th chapter of the book of Luke, starting at verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. You see, some of us can pray because we think we're okay. We think that we are good before God. And I tell you all the time that if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've been cleansed, you've been changed, you have right standing with God. In many ways, you truly are the righteousness of God. You can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Isn't it a good thing that we can be righteous, that we can have right standing with God? But I want to warn you that there's something in your thinking that could sneak in there that you need to examine. You see, they thought they were righteous, but I would call that into question because they despised others. This last year or so, people have been despising others. It's amazing how much junk we have said about each other, thought about each other, thought about another denomination, another political party, another race, another country. We've despised others. We think we are righteous because we are born again and we have been changed and God has made us righteous, and that is true. But somehow that we've forgotten possibly who we are because we've despised others. Do you remember that when Jesus was with some people, his people, and this area wouldn't accept him? They didn't agree with the way that he was preaching. They didn't see him as who he was. And James and John said, "Shall we call fire down on them?" Yeah, let's call fire down on them. They don't agree with us. Let's call fire down on them. They don't accept the way the things should be. Let's call fire down on them. And he said to them, "You don't know who you are. You don't know what spirit you are. You didn't come to destroy. Came to save sinners just like you." And so he wanted these people that despised others, even though that they were righteous, he wanted them to get some things here. And so he tells this parable. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray. It's a good thing to go and pray. Listen, it is good to pray. Too many of us use excuses for not praying. Too many of us find all kinds of reasons. I don't know how to pray. I don't feel like praying. I don't have the time to pray. I don't feel righteous enough to pray. All those things. No. It's a good thing. And these men went up to the temple. They were praying. One was a Pharisee. That was a person. They tried to follow the law. They tried to do the right thing. They really believed that they were holding on to God's word in a very special way. They were really working hard at it. They spent their life trying to be right. Do you try to be right? Are you trying to be right? But you know, sometimes in your attempt to be right, sometimes in your attempt to get it right, it can get a little off kilter. We have to examine ourselves every once in a while. Sometimes when we're building something, we have to put down a plumb line and see if it's still straight. Sometimes we have to give it a level to make sure that it's still okay. We still have to check ourselves. We still have to check to see where our focus is. We still have to check to see where we're at in this thing. The other one was a publican. Now, the publican knew that he was messed up. He knew that he didn't have it right. Every day, people told him he didn't have it right. Every day, he did a job that was ugly in the eyes of the people around him, and they didn't mind telling him he wasn't any good. You know, there are lost people out there that know that they're lost. And if they had known that they were lost, you would have told them anyway. You would have helped them to understand, you know, you're lost. So here we've got the Pharisee and the publican, and they're both at the temple, the place of God, to pray. And then the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. The Pharisee prayed with himself. I thought that was the most fascinating way of putting that. He kind of prayed to himself. He prayed about himself. He had him on his mind. What do you have on your mind when you go to pray? Are you praying to see how you can manipulate God to get done what you want done? Are you praying to fulfill your needs so that life won't be too hard for you? Are you praying so that your place will be comfortable and that you won't have to go through stuff? Or maybe you're really, really noble. I'm really praying so that my grandbabies will have it okay. What are you praying for? How are you praying? He went up to the temple and he's praying with himself. And he says, God, I thank you. Starts out nice, doesn't it? I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and grace. I thank you. I'm not like other people. Because you've changed me. I've been changed. I've been made different. I thank you that I am not like them. I'm not like other men. Some of these other people, they're extortioners. They're stealing. They're cheating. I'm not like them. No, no, no. I may hold back some things, but I'm not really an extortioner. I'm not like them. I'm not unjust. Fairness oozes from me. I do what I should do, when I should do it, how I should do it the right way. I'm not unjust. And certainly I'm not like those adulterers. I have changed. I mean, I've never been that way. I'm not like that. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adult. I'm not even like this publican. I'm not like that guy. I'm not making my living in ways that aren't right. I'm not walking around being like him. No, no, no. I fast twice a week. I do my religious duty. Do you do your religious duty? You find you're doing the duty that you do, and it's always in front of people. Doing your religious duty. I give tithes of all that I possess. I certainly hope so. And the publican, he's praying too. He doesn't get right up in front of everybody where everybody can see him and hear him. He stands back. He stands back, standing far off. He wouldn't even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He hardly felt worthy to be there. He hardly wanted others to know how he felt. He wouldn't even lift his... He's praying. I wonder how many people you run into each day that are praying desperate prayers and nobody's aware. Praying desperate prayers and you don't even know it. He wouldn't lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. He beat it on his chest, saying, you could feel his anguish, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you forgotten who you are? The word of God is true, and he has made you righteous. I don't want you to forget that. I want you to enjoy that. But do not forget the word also says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have sinned and you come short of the glory of God, and you are in need of his mercy. Yes, we can go boldly to the throne of grace. Why do we go boldly to the throne of grace? Because we need to find his mercy, that we don't get what we deserve. We need to find his grace, that he will give us wonderful free gifts that we could not have earned. It's not some kind of work that we do that makes it effective for us in this life, that makes our prayers effective. We've got to recognize we are in the presence of a holy God. It ought to make us shiver. It ought to make us amazed. We ought to be in awe. Oh my, we're in the presence of a holy God. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplication, because he inclined his ear unto me. Has he inclined his ear to you? Has he heard your cry? Have you even recognized that you need to cry to him? Or are you just okay? Not like that publican. Not like that sinner. Or do you recognize that you are a sinner? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. Everyone that puts himself forward, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be brought down. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. When we were praying for service today, we started thinking about how Jesus gave us a model prayer that we can take a look at. It says, Our Father. First of all, we are connected with him. We've confessed with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. We believe that he died for our sins. He is our Father. We're a part of the family. He has drawn us to himself. We are a part of the family. Are you a part of the family? Our Father, who art in heaven. He's the one who is above all things. He's outside of this little world that we live in. Thy kingdom come. We want his will. We want him to rule in our lives. Does he rule in your world? Or are you making all the decisions? Are you running through him, running through his word, the way that you react to things, the way that you think of things, the way that you're doing your planning? Is it to make sure that God's kingdom is being built up, being put forward? Is the life that you live, letting your light so shine among men that they see your good works and give glory to our Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's his will. We're so busy trying to get our will done, but it's his will we need to be all about. It's his way we need to be all about. There is a will. We can know what God wants. It's right there in his word. How is your prayer life? What are you praying about? Are you claiming your own righteousness, or are you recognizing in great humility that you have desperate need of God to have his way if your life is going to be full of love and peace and joy and faith and all of the things that will allow you to live in a way that glorifies him, and you then get to have joy? How you thinking about things today? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's done perfectly in heaven. And any time that you fall short of that perfection, then you are in sin. So you need to confess your sin. And when you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, so that you really can say, I'm the righteousness of God. You really can believe that God's righteousness is working in you. You can do that. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So now, there are things that you want. There are things that you need. There are things that hurt that you want mended. There are things that are broken that you want healed. There are things that you would desire that would make things easier for your life. Those things, let your prayer for those kinds of things be for the very purpose that you will be more able to do what God would have you to do, so that his kingdom, is being shown. Are you a kingdom person? Are you a kingdom woman who is driven to do God's will, and the things that you are asking for are not to make yourself more comfortable, but to make yourself more prepared to do what God would have you to do? There's nothing wrong with asking for your needs. There's nothing wrong with asking for your wants. But your needs and wants, your true needs and wants, should be the need to do what God would have you to do. Your true desires need to be to see his kingdom flourish all around you. Oh, what joy it is when your whole family is serving God. Oh, what joy it is when you're making an impact so that people that come in contact with you are no longer destined for hell, but they've been translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, that he would be glorified in all that we say and do. Great is our God. So we need our daily bread. We need to have our trespasses forgiven. I don't know about you, but I mess up. I screw up. And I need him to forgive me. I need him to fix it. I need him to change my thinking so that I'm not conformed to this world, but I am transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I might prove that I might do what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I will not think too highly of myself, but I will think soberly as each man has been given a gift that he should employ in following after our God. And I don't have a problem forgiving people because my God has told me, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And I want to be an imitator of God. I want to do what he would have me to do. So I don't want to be like this Pharisee. I want to be like the publican, so aware of God. But I also want to recognize that I can't capture it all. My mind is too small. My brain is too weak. I can't do this. Verse 15 says, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. What in the world? How can we be that way? There's no formula. These babies, they come with open hearts and open eyes and open ears. And we need to go before God as children in wonder and awe. We need to try to, what's he doing? How's he do that? Can I do that too? I want to try that too. Babies imitate you. They want to do what you do the way that you do it. They want to be with you. One of my grandbabies just loves to, she's a toucher. She loves to sit on my lap and climb on my shoulders and squeeze up as close to me as she can. And there just is like, I'm going, you know, but it's love. Do you love God like that? I want to love God so much that I want to be up under him so much that he's just going, you know. But then look down and realize that's my baby. Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer, allow these little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. People that want him, that desire to be with him. That's what the kingdom of God should be like. You want him. You're not doing it out of duty, but there's desire. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. You're not doing a set of activities to get right with God. But God has made you right, and you recognize that, and you want him. It's an indication you're okay with him. Do you want him today? Now listen, if you don't, you can pray about that. You can pray, Lord, I need you. My desire level is not what it should be. I'm not chasing hard after God. I'm chasing hard after all the distractions. I'm not chasing hard after God. I'm trying to get out of stuff. If the truth be told, I'm just here because of my religious duty. I'm sorry. If the truth be told, I don't think well of others. I don't think they're quite right. I'm sorry. I need to be changed. Maybe today you recognize, like I recognize, that I need to be changed. And you can pray this prayer after me. Dear Father, thank you. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. And I believe if I come to you, that you will not cast me out, but that you receive me and make me your own. You change me and call me righteous, not on my own merit, but on the merit, on the blood of Jesus Christ, I have been changed. Thank you, Lord, for changing me. And make me a person who wants to see your kingdom grow so that you might be honored throughout the earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today, God is working in your life. Feel free to come to the altar while Steve is playing, or right where you are, stop and pray. Stop and recognize what God is doing in your life. Today is the day. Let him grab you.